Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, 16th of May, Pope Francis encourages the members of the Carmelian Order in their ministry of caring for the sick and vulnerable. The Holy Father invites universities to rethink development models and inspire community service, and Caritas Internationalis and Caritas Ukraine highlight the devastating impact of the ongoing war on children and families. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. Pope Francis encourages the members of the Order of the Ministers of the Infirm in their charism and highlights the importance of looking at the reality of suffering, sickness and death with the eyes of Jesus. The Holy Father gave this message on Monday while addressing the Carmelians gathered in Italy for the 59th General Chapter of the Congregation. Devin Watkins tells us more.
Pope Francis on Monday addressed the members of the Order of Ministers of the Infirm, known as the Carmelians, who are gathered in Rome for their 59th General Chapter. The Pope noted that the religious order proposes to find new ways of evangelization and closeness in order to faithfully revitalize their charism of being at the service of the sick. He said St. Camillus de Lellis felt the call to give life to this religious family that would live the commandment of love by proclaiming the gospel and caring for the sick. The Pope said our own times are marked by an individualism and indifference that generate loneliness and result in the discarding of many lives. So, he said, the Christian response lies in charity that knows how to love its own time and humbly bears witness to the gospel. The Holy Father went on to note that the style and apostolate of the Carmelians recalls two essential dimensions of the Christian life, the desire for an extroverted witness to others and the need to understand oneself using the gospel value of littleness. Pope Francis invited them to draw from the Beatitudes to bring the glad tidings to the poor with meekness and simplicity, and to refresh one another in the confidence that a good deed done to a suffering brother or sister is a gift to Jesus himself. Do not neglect to cherish the memory of the first love with which Jesus conquered your heart, he said, in order to renew always your choice of consecrated life from the roots. The Pope also enjoined the Carmelians to cultivate the spirituality of communion that will help to better discern what the Lord wants from you. Concluding, Pope Francis thanked the Carmelians for what they are and what they do in the Church, noting that the charism of St. Camillus de Lellis helps make the Church a good field hospital where the wounded can experience and feel the closeness and tenderness of Christ. It is up to you to give hands, feet, mind, and heart to this gift of God, he said, so that it may continue to inspire the works of God in our time. I'm Devin Watkins.
Pope Francis met with university rectors from Italy's Lazio region on Monday, inviting them to commit their institutions to rethinking economic, cultural, and social models that put the human person back at the center. He also encourages them to continue to welcome students and teachers who are victims of war and persecution. Lydia O'Kane reports.
In his address to university rectors from Italy's Lazio region, Pope Francis stressed the importance of these places of learning in this particular historical moment, saying they are entrusted with the task of great responsibility. He told those gathered that the pandemic years, war in Europe, the global environmental issue, and the growth of inequalities challenge us in an unprecedented and accelerated way. We have to tell ourselves the truth. We are in crisis, said the Pope in off-the-cuff remarks, but he added that being in a crisis can be a good thing because it makes us grow. The Pope underlined that young people call us to our responsibilities, which is why now is the time for a major educational investment. This is why the Global Compact on Education is being developed, a joint working project on a global scale, involving so many stakeholders from major religions to international institutions to individual educational institutions, he said. Pope Francis also mentioned the signing of the document on human brotherhood in Abu Dhabi on the 4th of February 2019, where it was agreed that we care about the integral education that is summed up in knowing oneself, one's brother, creation, and the transcendent. Thus, in concrete terms, is this horizon of peace, which we rightly claim today and for which we pray intensely, said the Pope.
Questo in concreto è l'orizzonte della pace che oggi giustamente reclamiamo e per cui preghiamo intensamente.
He emphasized that certainly there is much to be done to ensure technological and scientific development, but also to guarantee human sustainability. Great changes demand that we rethink our economic, cultural and social models to recover the central value of the human person, he said. In this regard, Pope Francis underscored that the service that the university can provide is truly important and offers an environment to rethink and adapt our models of development, bringing together the best intellectual and moral energies. He called on universities to continue to reach out and welcome students, researchers and teachers who are victims of persecution, war and discrimination in various countries of the world. In conclusion, Pope Francis recalled the Jubilee of 2025, which has as its motto Pilgrims of Hope. The Pope expressed his hope that this event would offer the Church and universities a chance to work together towards shared goals of life, goodness and fraternity.
On Monday, the Holy Father told young people involved in politics to pursue their commitment, fostering encounter and action. As Linda Bordoni reports, the Holy Father was addressing a group of members of the political fraternity of the Chemin-Neuf community whom he received in the Vatican.
The Chemin-Neuf political fraternity brings together young people aged between 18 and 35. They're from different countries and political cultures, all of them motivated by the same passion for the common good and the poor, and eager to act in politics according to the gospel message. Addressing a group of its members in the Vatican on Monday, Pope Francis offered a reflection on the genuine meaning of politics for Christians. First and foremost, he said, politics is an art of encounter.
La politica, innanzitutto, è l'arte dell'incontro.
And encounter, he explained, consists of being open to others and accepting their differences. For us Christians, he added, there is more. The gospel, in fact, demands that we love our enemies. And this, he said, means that we are called to see political encounters as fraternal encounters, especially with people who disagree with us. It's an attitude, he continued, that requires us to change the way we look at others, showing acceptance and respect. Otherwise, politics risk turning into a violent confrontation, where people try to impose their own ideas and pursue particular interests over the common good. Another important prerequisite for Christians involved in politics, Pope Francis said, is the capacity to share reflection, recognizing that politics must pursue a general good. In a word, he said, the whole is greater than the part.
Insomma, il tutto è superiore alla parte.
Finally, action. Action, which means that as Christians, we must always be realistic, confronting our ideas with hard reality, lest we build on sands that sooner or later end up shifting. Let us not forget, he said, that realities are more important than ideas.
Che la realtà è più importante dell'idea.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
The Israeli Embassy to the Holy See is hosting a conference in Rome on Tuesday, focusing on a feminine perspective of climate change and sustainability. Women theologians and ecological activists will offer their contribution to the theme of Thinking Green Together. Dalit Wolf Golan, the Deputy Director of Ecopeace Middle East, is presenting at the event. She spoke to Devin Watkins about the challenges women in the Middle East face in obtaining such a basic element such as water.
Let's start with our region, the region I'm coming from, the Middle East. Women there, I think, first of all, it's really important to understand that women face water realities that are different from what women here face. In our region, most households do not get water every day. They get intermittent water supply, they get limited water supply, which in most areas can be once a week, once every 2 or 3 weeks, and in the summer even once every 3 months. Now imagine running a household like that. You have a tank on your roof that stores water, but how can you bridge that gap when it becomes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months? So women on a daily basis have to face a water reality that is very different and that affects really their quality of life. You have this water reality on the one hand that women face. On the other hand, you have leaders who are mostly men, and they potentially have the tools to change this reality, but they might not have the interest or the agenda to make this a priority. What we can do to bridge this gap is to make sure that women's voices on these issues are heard by the leaders. And that's a problem because we don't have many women leaders in the water sector, in municipal councils and national politics. So we need to find ways to, on the one hand, make women more knowledgeable and make information accessible to them. So why is this situation the way it is? And at the same time, really foster leadership among women to slowly build careers and become leaders of tomorrow. So that is what we're doing to create the change. We work in schools. We create a lot of knowledge among both boys and girls through teachers, mainly women, about what are the reasons for why the water realities are the way they are. What is going to happen with climate change? Is it going to get worse? What are the risks? But also, what are the solutions? What can be done to change this reality? And a lot can be done.
That was Dalit Wolf-Golan, Deputy Director of Ecopeace Middle East, speaking there to Devin Watkins. Mali is pulling out of a multinational military force in West Africa's Sahel region, which is combating a terrorist insurgency. The statement by Mali's military government, which took power in the 2020 coup, blamed the lack of progress in the fight against the armed groups and the failure to hold recent meetings in Mali. Since the beginning of the war in Ukraine in February, Caritas organizations have been at the front line in assisting the millions of refugees fleeing the fighting, supported by other members of the Caritas Confederation. Two Ukrainian Caritas organizations in particular, Caritas Ukraine and Caritas Space Ukraine, have been at the side of the population providing humanitarian assistance. A press conference held on Monday in Vatican Radio Sala Marconi provided an update on the work of the Caritas Confederation and the humanitarian situation in Ukraine. Father Vyacheslav Grinevich, director of Caritas Space Ukraine, spoke about the impact that separated families and an educational gap has on children.
When we are thinking about, for example, families, at this moment, for example, women with children is in one of our centers in Ukraine or maybe in another country, but most of fathers are soldiers. And the question is, what will be when the family come back to normal life, familiar life? So now we can see that separation between them. And also when father come back to the family, then it's not will be the same father. It will be father that knows the war, that knows the diet, and there will be another problem. So we have to think about this. We try to respond. We prepare our programs, our activities to this. Another point when we speak with about children, it's a big gap in education. That gap was started during the time of COVID. And during that last 2 years, our children didn't have opportunity to have normal lessons, but just online. But it was terrible, difficult time to understand the rules of online lessons. And now during the war, we see also that I think it's not possible to have normal education process during this time when you see all of that images of war, when you know that people that from your family are under occupation, father is in the war. And then will be the gap and the question, who will be our doctor in the future, who will be our teacher, who will be our leaders. So we have also to think about this.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.